Same composer, Richard Giesecke, has written a composition based on Acts 17 and Psalm 90, God's own time is the best of all. And I told Gudrun I thought I would really like to have this sung for my funeral. I'm a Norwegian, and of course, some of the greatest musicians come from Norway. And one of them was Edvard Grieg. He wrote an 8-part anthem. Now, most of the churches that I work with maybe don't even have 8 in the choir. And so Hal Hobson rearranged this 8-part anthem of Edvard Grieg for one solo line, Prayer to Jesus.
Thank you.
There's been a request that maybe we withhold the pause until some other time.
I'm Norwegian.
And now she's going to sing in Norwegian. I was in Norway a few years ago, and I was at Fredrikstad, and one of the great composers in Norway is Egil Hovland. And he is a very serious composer, and has studied with Aaron Copland and Dalla Piccola. Very much into avant-garde music, and much of the music might not be received with much acclaim in many of our churches. One of his hymns in a mass that he wrote is in 12 tone. And after we had spent several hours together, I have relatives in Fredrikstad, and we were invited to their house for coffee. And so we went in his Chrysler Imperial to visit my relatives. And on the way, he put a tape in the tape cassette. And what did this serious composer listen to as he was going in his car? Gospel music with an accordionist. It was very a sharp, marked contrast to what we've been listening to earlier. Well, this is a very interesting, the English translation is something about what? Opening a...
the church doors.
Opening the church doors.
Fling open the church doors. In the master comes. Rise you up when hearing footsteps, soft but sure.
And Sylvia Oatman is going to play the recorder obbligato part for the English stanza. But first we hear it in Norwegian. Wisconsin lives a lady who not only writes poetry, but writes music. Her name is Borghild Jacobson, and she's written 9 songs for Holy Communion. One of them is about roses. Now as a rose before the sun unfolds. Borghild Jacobson.
Oh,
have a whole hymn sing on roses. I have found it very fascinating that the rose has become such an important symbol for Christians. And of course, those of us who bear the name Lutheran have that marvelous Luther rose to work with. I got off the plane in Milwaukee one time, and they were having a garden tour, and they had a little brochure with a rose on it. And I started thinking, you know, we're talking about ways of evangelism. Maybe we could have, your church could have a rose show, and then invite people to come to the rose show, and then you could also share with them a few rose hymns. And, well, you know, there are some ways that we can share that maybe we haven't shared before. Of course, Lord and Taylor does it quite well with a beautiful rose on their box. And when there was an African God's Missionary of Love, they included the outline of Africa and included a rose on it. Dialogue, a magazine that comes from the seminary in St. Paul, a journal of theology, when it was talking about visual arts in the church, decided to have on its cover a rose. And of course, many of you have been to Advent concerts, and they talk about the promise of a rose. And so it goes. It was in Toronto. There is a marvelous Museum of Inuit Art. And there's also a book that has been produced on the collection. And Henry Clammer wrote the foreword to that book about Inuit art, and he wrote, "I remember attending the first one-man show of Inuit art at the Inuit Art Gallery in Toronto. Here was a Janacek, a renowned hunter, now artist on his first visit south. He stood stoically, completely unperturbed at the excitement of an opening, and he was clutching a long-stemmed rose. He clutched that rose all night, as if it were the most precious thing on earth. Here was a man from the barren north, sensitive to the delicacy and beauty of a rose. He had never seen a flower so large." The poet Gertrude Stein has written, "A rose is a rose, is a rose, loveliness sublime." I never really quite understood that until I gave my wife a rose one time, and it was in a bud. And then the next day, it was a rose, is a rose, is a rose. Gertrude Stein also wrote the lyrics for an opera, The Mother of Us All, with the music by Virgil Thompson. And it was produced in Minneapolis, and one of the pastors at a church in Minneapolis was a student of Gertrude Stein's, and she wrote in the Minneapolis paper about Gertrude Stein, "A rose is a rose is a rose." She felt words had sound, color, rhythm, a meaning outside their dictionary meanings, which when put together in new ways could exceed their cognitive meaning. Going through these mental gymnastics, "a rose is a rose is a rose," can't help but open up the mind, to expand it, to make us all see clearer, and hear clearer, and feel clearer, and smell clearer. She provokes in the way the Bible provokes, not confining, but expanding. And that's what art, that's loose in the universe, that's what art and religion are all about. Edward McDowell evidently liked roses also, American composer, and he wrote about "To a Wild Rose." and a composer in Epcot. I think one way to get into some of the 20th century sounds, if we're living in the 20th century, I think it's important that we hear a variety of sounds. And I'm all for, you know, singing some of the songs from our heritage. But it's also important that we hear some of the new sounds. And this is an arrangement of a melody that you all know that is about roses. But it's set in a very avant-garde musical style. Christmas Eve in the 20th century. seldom do we get a chance to play an anthem. It's always sung by the choir. Tonight, I'm going to play the anthem. It's the largest selling, apart from F. Melius Chris Johnson's Beautiful Savior, the largest selling anthem published by Augsburg Publishing House in Minneapolis, Augsburg Fortress Publishing House in Minneapolis. And it, the text comes from the 19th century. A rose touched by the sun's warm rays, all its petals gently does unfold. So you, when touched by God's great mercy, let joy and gladness win your soul. A composer from Denver, Jean Berger. Ends our little rose section, but we're still going to be romantic because we have a beautiful work by Rachmaninoff. This year is the 1,000th anniversary of bringing Christianity to Russia. And a few weeks ago, I was in Chicago and had the pleasure of meeting the Metropolitan Bishop from Siberia with full long robe and full long beard. And beautiful icon in long chain around neck. I had occasion to thank him, and I thanked him in Norwegian. I said, my ancestors come from Norway. And in Norway, when we thank somebody, we say, Mange tusen takk. So I said that to the translator, and the translator said, Gidiachut rutskrit vnamiachit, or whatever they say in Russian, to him. And he didn't respond. And I thought that was sort of strange. And so I said to the translator, "Did you translate that correctly?" And he said, the bishop, "Many million thanks." Well, what are we doing? A piece of Rachmaninoff. Where did you find this piece? This is Susan Preuss.
Sarah,
I'm sorry. Sarah Preuss. I got the right initial.
It's a piece written for voice that I'm going to play on my violin.
Thank you. of a Brazilian folk tune from a collection from this Alleluia that I talked about at Vespers this evening. Not only did we publish a curriculum, but we also published several books of anthems for children's choirs that they might use in that Alleluia series. And one of them is a Brazilian folk tune, and it would seem most appropriate if we would dedicate this not only to our recorder player tonight, but to her sister and father and mother, our theologian in residence.
And thanks to Magdalena, who helped me with the Portuguese on the first verse.
Maybe hear bells. Composer from the University of Michigan, William Albright. Father, we thank you. The text is from the first century. Didache. Years ago, I had a pleasure of editing a hymnal. The request was that the church needed more songs that represented other nationalities than there were represented in the Lutheran Book of Worship. We have some sort of token representation of Oriental culture, but very little. And so we have some from Japan and China in this book, also from the Hispanic experience and from the Black experience, and then some just kind of folk songs, and one of them is for those that are middle-aged. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, or not too young. Is Tim around? We were going to dedicate this to Tim. Well, we still will, in absentia. From the Black Experience, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Gudrun will sing stanza one. Listen carefully. Then she'll sing stanza two. You don't need to listen so carefully. And then sing stanza one over again with us.
Serve the Lord.